sermon notes on my computer, because anytime I'm called to preach really quickly, I can kind of pop something up and bring it here. But it's appropriate if you... Does anybody here do the daily readings? You know, we're in Job right now, if you've noticed, in morning prayer. And Job's in like a really bad spot. He's... he's got some friends, and he harkens back to the days that the youth stood up before him, and he was charitable to the widow and all this. And then he laments and says, my skin is wasting away, and I've turned a different color. And he's just, he's not there yet, you know, and God has left him. And of course, we know God hasn't left Job, but he's at that point, you know, in his discourse where he thinks so, which made me think about Elijah. And where the brook dries up for Elijah. And I'll just read it. I'm going to read in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." So Elijah just speaks a prophetic prayer about no rain. "The word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there.' So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan." It's a nice place to be during a drought, isn't it? By that brook. "The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook." So he had room service. I mean, he had ravens bringing him food morning and evening. "It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land." Now, that shouldn't have surprised Elijah, because he just spoke a word, right? He just prayed a prayer. And how do brooks run? Well, obviously, they get fed by rain and dew and that sort of thing. So eventually, we would see that the brook would dry up. So this is really a direct result of what Elijah prayed. You know, I was thinking the other day, when we had all that rain in Selma, when the remnant of Isaac came over and dumped all that rain, and people were kind of freaking out, and I got some photos of some flooding in town, and people were like, "Oh my goodness, can you see that?" And of course, the odd thing is, what have we been praying for the past, I don't know how many months, about water, you know? And of course we think of, now that's, it's a physical representation of what Bishop's been praying spiritually, but at the same time, we know oftentimes the spiritual can mirror the natural or vice versa. So none of us should be surprised that the streets were flooded in Selma, because that's what we've been praying. And God fulfilled it literally, you know? It's easy to say, oh, he's flooding the streets with love, or he's flooding the streets with whatever, but God sent the water. And so, yeah, and just like in, that's a good sign. But just like in this thing, Elijah prays it, and really the brook drying up is a direct result of his prayers, to a degree. Now, what does the brook for us represent? You know, the brook is a good thing. It's a thing that feeds us, it nourishes us. It you can't survive very long in a desert climate without water. The brook can be relationships, which meet our emotional needs. It can be occupations or sources of wealth, our financial needs. And it can even be in ministries, vocations, or other callings from which we get our identity. And so all of these things that we have in our lives represent, or are represented by the brook, things where we're sustained from. Now, the hard part in our Christian walk is to be brought to the brook and to drink from it, only to have that brook dry up on us. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing in our walk. And it's a hard thing to get past. I don't know if you're like me, but I've had numerous brooks dry up in my life. They've all been a result, in some ways or not, of course, of God's will, of prayers I've prayed, not knowing. Again, we say we pray these things in our lives. Lord, do this. But in order to do this, what does he have to do? Sometimes he has to dry up this over here. And then all of a sudden we're shocked that he dries it up. In the reading, Elijah was hidden until appointed time. Brooks can simply be stopovers until God is ready for you. A place of waiting. Remember, Elijah is hid there at the brook. All of us sometimes just simply hang out at these brooks until the appropriate time. I mean, you know, God does have to work within the time-space continuum, right? And He has to do things according to, I was talking to children today at chapel, you know, God has to do things within the context of a fallen creation and fallen people. And so, why do we have these layovers? Why do we sit sometimes, it seems, for hours in God's airport? Well, it's just because we're waiting on the other planes to get here and we're waiting on other people to get there to their destination. And so, God in His mercy does that and He hides us. And that's what He did with Elijah. He hid him by the brook. Sometimes it's to root out comfort and complacency. God is constantly on the move throughout Scripture. He is calling people to move from places of comfort and complacency. Brooks are stationary things. Our tendency is to camp out next to the brook and never move. Man, I've been in love with some brooks, do you know what I mean? And never wanted to leave. And had they not dried up, I would have sat there, camped out, drank, probably not, I know for a fact, not experienced everything that God had for me, but I came very content with the brook. Again, brooks are good things. It's a place of sustenance. It's a place where we're fed, where we're nourished. It's comfortable. You know, Elijah's in the midst of a drought. Where else would you want to be except right next to a flowing brook with water when there's no rain anywhere else? So I mentioned earlier the brook drying up may be a result of our prayers. Elijah prayed it wouldn't rain. Did he really expect the brook to keep running? Think about that. He says this prophetic word. He says this word of the Lord. And then I'm sure Elijah was surprised when the brook dried up. Well, how can this be? God, you know, I spoke a word to all these people that it's not going to rain, to Ahab, and now you're going to do this to me? You know? And again, we have to, I remember many, many years ago I was at a church and a priest said, it's a cliche you hear all the time, but be careful what you pray for. Because you just might get it. How many have ever been there? I mean, we'll pray this thing, Lord, do this, do that, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like the support foundation goes out and the building implodes, and you know, you think, what in the world? Where the whole time we were praying this thing, Lord, do something, move. Again, drying up the brook. I would say that again, the Selma revival. You know, I think that the rain that happened the other day was really a direct result of the prayers. I mean, you can't, people might argue, but I mean, again, what have we been praying for so long now, over and over? And sometimes I'm sure maybe people out in the pews at noon are going, what in the world is he talking about? Why does he keep praying about knee-deep water, ankle-deep water, waist-deep water? Well, he understands, Bishop Jones understands, and he's crying out. And, you know, that's the thing about prayer. We have to be tenacious about it and pray. And you know what? We've seen results again. Another reason why the brook dries up is to simply cultivate faith in us. God seems to foster faith in the most difficult and distressing situations. It's always in lack where God works. It's never in abundance. I mean, if you think about it, all of Jesus' miracles that he does are where there's like a lack of something. There's a lack of food. There's a lack of health. There's a lack of what people need. We always think that God's on the scene when everything is cool, when everything is good, when the checkbook, or the checking account rather, is full, when the pantry's full, when everybody's healthy, when everybody's wealthy and wise, and we're all doing fine. That's not what you see in the Gospels. What you see in the Gospels is bad situations. The gospel reading today is where Lazarus was dead. I mean, you have a bad situation there, you know, an irreversible situation apart from God, the death of someone. And so God is there and he's always there. Again, when the brook dries up, you know, again, we think, God, what have I done? Anybody like me where you try to analyze what, Lord, what have I done? Did I remove the wrong chess piece? Is this some sort of divine retribution? Is something that happened a long time ago, I'm finally reaping the punishment for this? Well, that's not God. We know that. But again, God has to, He has to move us and He has to cultivate faith. The feeding of the 5,000. I mean, if there would have been a kosher delicatessen right there where the sermon was given, there would have been no need for the loaves and the fish. Again, Jesus, God, works, is on the move. Let's say this, He's present wherever we see lack. Again, our minds, we tend to think the exact opposite. You know, we see it. We see a family situation that seems hopeless, or we see a financial situation that seems hopeless, or we see a job situation that seems hopeless. That dried up brook is where God moves. That's the juncture point of where God is doing something. To bring forth a spirit of thankfulness in us and put things in proper perspective, often we focus on the brook, no longer running rather than thanking Him for all the years that did flow in our lives. You ever done that? You know, you lament the fact that the brook's gone, but you never thanked Him for the 10 years that it ran through your life. Oh, Lord, I've lost this job. How could I lose this job, Lord? Why would You do this to me? Rather than saying, Lord, thank You that I had a really good job for 8 years. You know? Again, cultivating that thankfulness in us. It can get really, you know, and we do. We get, and that's not faith. You know, faith, part of being faithful is being thankful. And when we look at it from a future, towards the future, we don't see the brook running anymore, so we get distressed. Rather than looking back on it and say, what a wonderful experience. What a wonderful experience that God provided this in my life for this amount of time. We need to do that. Also, you know, God will dry up the brook if it becomes an idol. That's a hard thing. Again, the brook is a good thing. But if the good thing becomes an idol, what does God do? Dries it up. You know, we sit there and, I mean, He can dry up jobs. He can dry up relationships. He can dry up a priest, a minister, if I become idolatrous of my vocation, if I think that this is the end-all, be-all of who I'm supposed to be, or my focus is all on this, then God can simply dry that up quickly. I'm not saying that, but I'm just using it as an example that God will. Anytime we become so focused on these brooks, again, what does a brook represent? What does water represent? Water represents life. We draw life from a brook. It keeps us. It sustains us. It sustains us in those times of drought. And finally, when we see the brooks drying up, we know that God is on the move. A brook drying up is a sign that we are on the right path and moving in the purposes of God, not the exact opposite. Can we interpret the dried up brook as God's finished with me? He's sick of this. He's sick of what I've done. He's absolutely disgusted with what I've done with this brook. He's drying it up. That's it. Let's hang it up. No. We see when the brook dries up, what is Elijah's told to go someplace else? He's on the move. It's a juncture. You know. And again, many of us perhaps have brooks drying up in our lives. One, do we thank Him for that brook all the years that it was there? Secondly, do we become so focused on the brook? I mean, has the brook become God? You know, I mean, we do. Money can become our God. Our security, our health insurance, all these things that we rest in to a degree can become godlike. You know, we have to be careful. And any time, you know, God is a jealous God. God allows no rivals. He doesn't like rivals. He doesn't like idols in our life. He's very tenacious about drying up those things that we camp out next to as well. You know, I think about that too as we read the Bible, we read the Gospels. God is always moving people. Have you ever noticed that? He's always telling people to get up and go. You know, the Israelites had to leave Canaan and go to Egypt during the famine, and then they get stuck there, and then God moves them back out, and they wander around, they go back to the promised land. And, you know, early on, God told Abraham, simply get up and go that way. And, you know, God is constantly moving us. And this is kind of a side note, but have you noticed that, you know, the temples that were built the only ones that were destroyed were the ones that were stationary in the Old Testament. Now those were the ones that were demolished. The tent that moved in the wilderness never suffered that fate. And so I think it's a lesson for us is that he's always on the move. You know, there's a part of me that just wants, you know, Bishop will talk about moving to a new level or they're going up here or going, you know, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, can't we just stop for a few minutes and just hang out here for a little bit? But I understand because that's the nature of God. God is moving us all the time. You know, there is such a tendency to camp out, you know, really become satisfied with what is here. You know, and I do think about it. I think about all the brooks that have dried up in my life. And this is the importance of keeping a journal. There was always something better God had. Now, at the time, it was very difficult when the brook dried up and the job went down the tubes or something happened. But if we keep track of our lives and we journal or diary or whatever you want to call it, you can see, and most of you would agree with me, anytime there has been a drying up of a situation, God has done something. God is right there. You think, oh, well, of course. Had this not happened, I would have never gotten here. And, of course, you know, our lives are like chains of events that, you know, God does one thing here and then it kind of starts the domino effect and that's how God is. And so He has to do things like that. And so if you find yourself facing a drying up brook, don't be disappointed. Perhaps God has just had you there for a while. Sometimes we need rest. Again, a holy layover. You know, sometimes He will set us by the brook just to give us a little respite. You know, sometimes there are real, genuine callings at these brooksides. You know, and again, we have to be careful. Don't ever become comfortable with your brook. Don't ever become so focused on your brook that you say, if you suddenly say, I couldn't possibly live without, and unless God is in that blank, watch out, because God will dry that up. He will. I can't live without that job. I can't live without this. I can't possibly imagine me not being this or that or knowing so-and-so or having so-and-so here or whatever. You know, again, that becomes a God, and He tolerates no rivals. So be thankful for the brook. But at the same time, that's not our focus. It's always God Himself. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.